ago that we, you know, and we always go down to Treasure Valley Baptist Church. That's where we came from. That's where we have a family down there. And so it's always good to go down there. That's where my pastor's at, Treasure Valley Baptist, Pastor Rick DeMichael. So it was somewhere around that time period, that period of time, 6-7 years, we went down and we were there for a Sunday, so we got a chance to go, and I always love to hear my preacher preach, my pastor preach or teach, but also, you know, you never know what you're going to get on a Sunday when you get down there. Once in a while, he'd say, "Brother, you look at me, you got something to preach?" "Yeah." And then I'm preaching, or, you know, you always got to be ready. But one particular night, it was pretty sure it was on a Sunday evening. Brother Peterson was teaching on Daniel's 70th week, and boy, it was great. It was he just did such a great job. And I remember, I don't know if I got a chance to talk to you that night, but over time, and of course, as they've moved here now in the last year and a half, 2 years as they've been here, I told him how much that was a blessing to me. I said, "I want you to teach that sometime." So that's what he's going to do tonight. So the Lord will, it'll be a blessing to you, and it'll be very, very educational. So brother, I'm going to turn it over to you. I'll let you come on up. Thank you again for being a blessing here, you and your wife.
Well, thank you, Pastor. Thank you. God bless. You know, you got to be careful what you say around Pastor. The other night he was talking, or Wednesday night he was talking, you know, he had that root canal, and I said, "Well, Pastor, you know, take it easy. You got men that can preach for you. You got men that can fill the pulpit. You know, take it easy. You don't have to fill." And we know his heart's desire is to fill the pulpit. Amen. And he said, yeah, I know." Well, then Friday morning he goes, "Hey, Stan, you want to preach for me Sunday night?" So thank you. But the opportunity, can you get the first slide? I am going to teach on Daniel's 70th week because we are to rightly divide the word. Amen. And there is a movement out there. Has anybody ever heard of replacement theology? Replacement theology. Okay, replacement theology is that the church has replaced Israel and that we are God's chosen people. And Israel, you know, they rejected their Messiah, so they pushed him off to the side. And God no longer has anything to do with Israel. Well, that's not right. That is not the case. And it's important to understand, if you turn to Daniel chapter 9, that's where we find this prophecy, Daniel chapter 9. And if you go to the next slide, go to the next slide. Please. Okay. Well, I'm going to give you a little bit of history. A little bit of history before we get into this, because it's important to know the context of this prophecy in Daniel chapter 9 that we get. In Daniel chapter 9, we are at the end of what's called the Babylonian captivity, 70 years that Israel is in captivity under Babylon, okay? And the reason for that is that they had sinned against God, and they had not kept the Sabbaths, okay? We know that the Sabbath was what day of the week? Seventh day of the week, last day of the week. But they also had what were called sabbatical years, okay? Especially when they were plowing and farming and things. Every 7 years, the field was to be just let lie and to rest, which the Sabbath day was what? The day that God rested. That was what instituted it. So they were to rest the field. Well, Israel was not following God, and they continued to plow the field. They continued to go against God, okay? And God said, okay, and let me explain this slide. I know this is a busy slide, but this is a timeline that I had to do in Bible Institute. I know Aiden had to do a similar one, okay? This is only a snippet of it. But this is, you can't see it, but this is 630 BC, before Christ, 630 years, and this is 520 years before Christ. And what you have up here, what we had to do on this timeline, was to put in the books of the Bible and other things that happened around the world. So just for example, you have Zephaniah and Habakkuk written around 630. That's when those books of the Bible were written. Okay, you have Jeremiah the prophet is during this time. Daniel is during this time. Ezekiel, the book of Lamentations was written here. You have the book of 2 Kings. Then you have Haggai and then Ezra, the prophet Ezra here. And then you'll see later in another slide, Nehemiah. Okay, and in this, this hashed area is what we call the 70-year exile in Babylon. Okay, this is when the Jews are in Babylon. Now, the reason, if you turn to Deuteronomy chapter 28, you can keep your hand in Daniel chapter 9. Deuteronomy chapter 28. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1, it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. And I just realized we hadn't prayed, so let me just do a quick prayer before I get going here. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come tonight to look at your word, I pray, Lord, that you would help me to make it very clear, Father. Lord, that I would not teach anything in error. And Father, that you would just touch our hearts and minds, the importance of this and understanding of it. And Father, as we go forth to be a light to others, bless the sores as they go about their deputation. Bless them as they get to Papua New Guinea. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So here in Deuteronomy chapter 28, first two verses, the Bible, God says, hey, if you do these things, you're going to have a blessing. Okay? Now, if you look at verse 3, blessed shalt thou be in the city, in the field, verse 4, 5, and 6. Well, this goes all the way down through verse 14. Okay? And thou shalt not go aside from any of these words, which I command thee this day, to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods, to serve them. So basically you have verses 3 through 14 saying, if you follow me, this will be the blessing. Now look at verse 15. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments, his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Verse 16, cursed thou shalt thou be. Okay. So from verse 15 on is the curses. How many verses are in Deuteronomy chapter 28? 68 verses. So basically you have 12 verses of blessings, and God says, if you don't follow me, I'm going to give you these 53 verses of cursings. I think that's pretty clear, isn't it? Aren't you glad you aren't underneath the Old Testament law? All right. But basically, the Jews were not following the Lord, and they had not observed, it's a completely different study, too much detail for tonight, they had not observed 70 sabbatical years, okay? So a sabbatical year was every seventh year they were to let the field lie fallow and to rest, and they had not observed that. So go to Jeremiah chapter 25. Jeremiah chapter 25. Now we see up here, this is up on my chart here, this is Jeremiah. So he is prophesying before the Jews go into the Babylonian captivity. But Jeremiah chapter 25. The word that came to Jeremiah concerning all the people of Judah in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, the king of Judah, that was the first year of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, the which Jeremiah the prophet spake unto all the people of Judah and to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, all right, so this is where he is giving the 70 years of the captivity. Look down in verse 11. Okay, verse 11. And this whole land shall be desolate and astonishment, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon. How many years? 70 years. Okay, 70 years. So Jeremiah, even before Daniel comes on the scene, Jeremiah is saying, hey, because you've done this, you have not turned back to God, you are going to serve, your land will be desolate, and you're going to serve the king of Babylon 70 years. Okay, 70 years. And God continues, as we know, God continues to warn his people, but they continue to turn away from him. Well, historical timeline, about 605 is when the Babylonian captivity starts, okay? Jeremiah's prediction comes true, and Nebuchadnezzar attacks, and the first, about 3,000 first captives are deported to Babylon, and Daniel is part of that. Daniel's a young man. Okay, Daniel is maybe a teenager, we don't know, but because at the end, toward the end of his life, he's about 82, all right, so maybe 12 years old, you know, approximate. We don't know, we don't have a birth certificate of Daniel, okay, but he is starting Daniel's reign here, and then you see in some of these, that's like Daniel chapter 1, where he doesn't eat what? He doesn't eat the king's meat, right? You have Daniel chapter 2, where he interprets the king's dream along the timeline. Daniel chapter 3 is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. All right, Daniel chapter 4, the king's dream, he interprets the vision of the tree. All right, Daniel chapter 5, towards the end, about 538 B.C., you have Belshazzar, and he sees the hand coming out and writing what? Many, many tekel usarfen, which is what? You've been found wanting, and you've been weighed, and you don't measure up, basically. And then immediately after that, what do we find? We find that Belshazzar is killed, and Darius comes on the scene, all right? And then we have Daniel chapter 6 in the lion's den, okay? Because that's under King Darius the Mede. All right, 539, Babylon falls. Now again, a lot of these are approximate. We do have some inscriptions, some hard dates. But Daniel chapter 9, it's not on this chart, but Daniel chapter 9 happens about 538, okay, B.C., 538 B.C., at the end of the exile. So if you turn to Daniel chapter 9. Daniel chapter 9. Get back there. Daniel chapter 9. And he reads, in the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the son of the Medes, which were made king over the realm of the Chaldeans. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. Again, Daniel chapter 5 has already happened. Belshazzar is no longer, he was killed. Okay, Darius the Mede. Now, we don't know exactly who Darius the Mede is. There's Darius the Persian and Darius the Mede. All right, some scholars are different in it. Some think that Darius the Mede was a uncle of Darius the Persian, and was a co-regent. Some believe that it was a general named Gobryas who attacked Babylon and won it, and then he was given the title or the regency or the kingship of Babylon. But we know that Belshazzar dies, Nebuchadnezzar is killed, there's a couple of smaller kings, but Belshazzar is overthrown and Darius the Mede is ruling. And that's what we have here at the end of the 70-year captivity. And Daniel, he says, he learns of the desolation of Jeremiah in 538 B.C., which is approximately here, all right? And he reads, and what does he read? He reads, well, it's 70 years. So he knows what? It's coming to an end. He knows that the 70 years are coming to an end. In verse 2, you go back to verse 2. In the first year of his reign, I understood by books, all right? He reads, he understands, it's about to come to a close. And in verses 3 through 19, Okay, and 3 through 19 is his prayer. His prayer is for the future of his city and his people. So who would be his city and his people? Who would be his people? The Jews. Who would be his city? What would be his city? Jerusalem. Okay, that's key. All right, so he's praying for his city and for his people. And if you go down to verse 20... And while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people, Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord, my God, for the holy mountain of my God, yea, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel. Now, we've seen Gabriel before, haven't we? Okay, who's Gabriel? He's an angel. Okay, he's an angel. And he comes to Daniel, and whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touching me about the time of the evening oblation. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore understand the matter and consider the vision. And then we have in Daniel chapter 9, verses 24 through 27, we have what's called Daniel's 70 weeks. All right, this is the prophecy. This is the prophecy that he has given. All right, let's read that. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people, upon thy holy city, to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks, and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall even in troublous times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate, even unto the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. So here we have this prophecy of 70 weeks and different timelines in there to Daniel of what's going to happen to he and his people. All right, next slide. Next, okay. 70 weeks are determined. 70 weeks. Now, you know, there's scholarly debate, I'll say that. Does that mean 70 days? Does that mean 70 months? Does that mean 70 years? Okay, that's a whole nother study in numbers. But if you study it out, the term weeks here is sevens, 77s. All right, what's 70 times 7? 490. If it's 490 days, that's little more than a year. So it'd be a little bit more than a year that all these things would happen. And historically, that didn't, okay? Historically, that did not. If you do it months, it's about 40 years. Again, historically, the things that are prophesied in here did not happen, all right? But if you do study, it's 490 years, historically, that works. And we'll see that as we go through this study. Now, actually, 490 should ring a bell for some other things. Okay, how many times are you to forgive somebody? 70 times 7. Okay, anybody ever count? Well, I'm on 489, one more, and I don't have to forget them. Okay. If you read, you do a study throughout your Bible about 490 years, like Abraham to Exodus was about 490 years. Now, if you do a chronological order, no, you're going to say it's more than that, Brother Peterson, and you're right. But God does not count when Israel is out of favor. Okay, you understand that. God does not count the years when Israel is out of his favor, because from Abraham to Genesis, there's 15 years where Ishmael usurped the authority of the Jewish people. All right? In Exodus, Solomon's temple... you take 591 years that Solomon's temple was there, but after 111 years of servitude in Judges, And God doesn't count that. That comes out to 490. And that's numerology. I'm not going to get into that. That's a whole other study into that. But let's say 490 years. All right, next. All right, to do what? Well, there are six things that are listed there. Okay, six things. To finish, to make an end, to make reconciliation, to bring in, to seal up, and to anoint. Those are the six things that these 70 weeks are determined to do. Now, what do you notice about the first three? They're all in relationship to what? To sin. Okay? Why was Israel in the 70-year captivity? Because they were in sin. All right? They were in sin. So this in itself is a study that you can do. But to finish the transgression, this word transgression could also be translated as revolt or rebellion. Now, revolt or rebellion is you know that you're doing wrong. You're going against the government. Well, the Jews were doing that. They were just sinning ignorantly. They knew that they were transgressing against God. But they were to bring an end to Israel's tendency to purposefully act contrary to the statutes of God. To make an end of sin, God's people were continually falling short of God's standard. And this has carries the kind of the connotation of Romans 3:23. We have all fallen short of the glory of God, okay, of missing the mark in that. All right, to make reconciliation for iniquity talks about atonement, okay, an atonement for sin. And these first three, again, speak of removal of sin. But then what are these next ones? To bring in everlasting righteousness, seal up vision and prophecy, to anoint the most holy. Well, to bring in everlasting righteousness, just as God was going to remove Israel's sin, he was going to cause righteousness to come in, that they would live righteously toward him. To seal up vision and prophecy. Who is the fulfillment of the law? The Lord Jesus Christ. Revelation says the spirit of prophecy is Christ. Christ is the spirit of prophecy, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. But, you know, there's going to be no need for new visions and new prophecy after these 70 weeks, because everything's going to be fulfilled. And then to anoint the most holy. Some interesting comments about this. A lot of people point to the Lord Jesus Christ, okay, which it would fit. But a lot of people point to what's considered a fourth temple. A fourth temple. How many temples have been built? Well, you had the first one, and it was destroyed. Then you had a second one built when they went back. Remember, they went back out of captivity, and they built a second temple. Has that one been destroyed? Yes, it was. In AD 70, Romans came in and destroyed that temple. Well, I said a fourth temple. Well, we find, if you do a study, that the Antichrist is going to do what? Seat himself on the throne as if he was God. And he's going to desecrate the temple. So there's got to be a third temple built. Everybody following that one? There's got to be a third temple built. I said a fourth temple. Well, you either destroy that third temple that's been desecrated, or you clean it up and you have the third temple. But anyway, what I want to point out is these are why these 70 weeks are being given. Okay, to do these things. Next. All right, when did it start? Well, let's go back to Daniel chapter 9. When does it start? 70 weeks are determined, verse 25. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem. Next. Okay, this is key, to restore and to build Jerusalem. All right, next. Go back to this is an expanded timeline. I only showed you this portion, but I've expanded it a little bit. This is the prophet Ezra, Zechariah, Haggai, Esther, Nehemiah. Okay. If you've ever heard of Xerxes, Artaxerxes in history, those should ring a bell as far as names. All right. But if you read, in fact, let's turn to Ezra chapter 1. Ezra chapter 1. Ezra chapter 1. Now, in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, so you have Cyrus, king of Persia, that's about right here. Notice it's at the end of the 70 years captivity. So this is Ezra chapter 1 and 2, right here. That the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled. The Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom and put it in writing, saying, thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord God of heaven hath given me all the kingdom. Then let's see, let's go down to I've got to find where in my notes this is. Oops, sorry. I lost my place. But anyway, it says in here that Ezra is sent back, a group is sent back to rebuild the temple. Okay? They're sent back to rebuild the temple. All right? We also find something similar in Ezra chapter 7, where a group of Jews are sent back to... I found it here. Ezra chapter 1, look at verse 3. Who is there among you of all his people? His God be with him, and let him go to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build what? The house of the Lord. So what are they rebuilding in chapter 3? They're rebuilding the temple. Okay? They're rebuilding the temple. So, you know, some scholars say, well, this is where they're sent back to rebuild. But what was the commandment to go back and rebuild what? Jerusalem, the city. These guys were going back to rebuild the temple. And we find something similar in Ezra chapter 7 over here, to go back and to rebuild the temple, not the city. That is important to know. So next slide. Next slide. And this is 538, and this is 455 B.C. So quite a bit of distance. But we still haven't had the commandment to rebuild Jerusalem. Okay, rebuild Jerusalem. Next slide. Next slide. So it's not Ezra chapter 1 and 2, verse 7. Next slide. All right, go to Nehemiah chapter 2. Next book to the right, Nehemiah chapter 2. The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah, and it came to pass in the month Chislu, in the 20th year, I was in Shushan the palace, that Hanani, one of my brethren, came, and he certain men of Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews that escaped, which were left of the captivity, concerning Jerusalem. They said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity that are in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And it came to pass, when I heard these words, I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. And then said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and reserve his commandments. Let thine ear now be attentive, thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of the servant which I pray before thee day and night for the children of Israel, thy servants. And he confesses his sin. Well, you go to chapter 2. Well, that was chapter 1. You go to chapter 2. He comes before Artaxerxes, okay? And Artaxerxes says, hey, what's going on? Verse 3, chapter 2, verse 3. Said unto the king, let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad when the city, the place of my father's sepulchres, lieth waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire? So Artaxerxes says, hey, what do you want from me? So basically he says, I want to go back and rebuild my city. All right, so this is the commandment to go back and rebuild Jerusalem. So this is approximately 445 B.C. Next slide. I have this stopwatch, and we know that there are what? How many years are around this stopwatch? 70. Okay, 70 years. Well, it doesn't look that up there. Just imagine in your mind. All right, but the stopwatch starts at 445 B.C., okay, when they're given commandment, go back and rebuild the city. Next slide. So here we have our timeline. Next. This is the end where Daniel's, and this is about 538 BC, this is when Daniel's chapter 9 is given. 70 years are given. Next. This is when the commandment is given to go back and rebuild the city. Next. That's 93 years. 93 years between he's given the prophecy and the stopwatch starts. Okay? It's not here, and it's not here. This is the time, approximately 445 BC, is when the timer starts for 70 years. Okay? Or 70 weeks, excuse me, 70 weeks. Keep that in mind. Now, another interesting story, or another interesting thing. Have you ever done a biblical history and world history study? You ever done that? We think biblical times is what? Ancient times. Next. Anybody hear of the Battle of Marathon? Where the Persians and the Athenians fought, and this is where we get our marathon. There's a legend that one of the Athenians ran 26 miles. How long is a marathon? Ran 26 miles, came into the king, said, "We won," and collapsed and died. That's a legend, but that's where we get the modern 26-mile marathon. Okay? That's when it was fought. Next. Anybody ever heard of the 300? Okay? The 300 fighting at Thermopylae. Okay? 300 Spartans fighting against up to 1 million Persians. And they held them for 7 days. All right? Have you ever heard of the movie 300? That's based on that. Next. Anybody ever heard of Buddha? That's when Buddha lived. Anybody ever? Next. Confucius. That's when he lived. Next. And Socrates lived. Now look, that's Ezra and Nehemiah. That's when Socrates lived. Do a study sometime of ancient, what we call ancient history and biblical history. It's fascinating how they go hand in hand. Okay? All right, next. So, let's look at verse 25. It's broken into three different sections, okay? Daniel chapter 9, go back to Daniel chapter 9. And after 62 weeks, verse 25, "Now therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince." Now, who is the Messiah the Prince? Christ, Jesus Christ, "shall be 7 weeks, 62 weeks, the street shall be built again, and the wall even in troublous time." So you have different time periods here. So you have the first one is 7 weeks, okay? Next. All right, 445 BC, next is 49 years, okay? Next. It's about 396 BC. Next. Okay, so you have that time period. Okay, 49 years. 7 of 7 is 49 years, so that goes. And then you have the next piece. "Until the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62. 62 is 62 weeks. Okay? So that is what? 69 of the 70 weeks. All right, 69 of the 70 weeks until who? Next. Next. All right, next. Go back one. Does that kind of ring a bell to anybody? 38 AD. Now go next. 31 AD with calendar differences. There's the Jewish calendar, there's the Gregorian calendar. If you ever do a study, we're underneath the Gregorian calendar. And actually, under the Gregorian calendar, Christ was born in 4 AD. So the calendar's off. Okay? That's another, by the way. But what do we generally say happened in 33 AD? Christ was crucified. Christ was crucified. Okay? Again, there's a lot of calendar differences, but if you go from 445 BC, which was the commandment to go rebuild the city, to 7 and 62 weeks is 483 years, you get approximately 38 AD. Again, calendar differences, that's a whole nother study, but approximately 33 AD. And unto who? Messiah the Prince, until the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, until the Lord Jesus Christ. Next. Okay, and after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. Who did Christ die for? For everyone. There was no iniquity found in him. And he died for everyone. Okay? It's 33 A.D. So what do we have left out of that 70 weeks? What do we have left? We have 1 week, don't we? We have 1 week. That is Daniel's 70th week. Okay? That is what we call that little white space is Daniel's 70th week. We've counted for how many? 69 weeks, right? Until Christ. Christ, verse 26, 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. Okay, but not for himself. Next. The crucifixion was approximately 33 A.D. That's generally the year that we say it is. Turn to Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53. Now, he shall be cut off, but not for himself. Isaiah chapter 53, look at verse 4. Surely he hath borne his own griefs. Is that what it says? It says who? Our griefs, and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. So I think we're all familiar with that. Christ died for us. He spilled his blood for us, shed his blood, paid that sacrifice, paid that penalty, that we might have salvation full and free. So this is actually a what? A messianic prophecy, okay, to the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, next. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Next. All right, so we have Daniel's 70th week, one remaining week out of these 70 weeks given by this prophecy. Next. So, you have Nehemiah chapter 2, verses 1 through 6, 445 B.C., 7 weeks, 62 weeks. Verse 25, from the commandment to rebuild the city, to Messiah. We have 69 weeks. Looking at Isaiah 53, that's about 33 A.D. And we have, that's the cross. Okay, that's the cross. So then we have 1 week left. Next. All right, and that's verse 26b, the second half of verse 26 and 27. Next. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people, upon thy holy city. Again, this is Gabriel talking to Daniel. Who is thy people? Israel, the Jews. What is the holy city? Jerusalem. It is not the American church. It is not Washington, D.C. Okay? There are those that say the church, and specifically some say Rome, you know, is this, that has not been transferred to the Gentiles. Still, Israel is still God's people. Next. Next. Okay. Look at Jeremiah chapter 30. Well, you can just see here for the sake of time. In Jeremiah chapter 30, verses 4 through 7, it's called the time of whose trouble? Jacob's trouble. Now, is Jacob a Gentile? No. He's a Jew. He is an Israelite. All right. In Ezekiel chapter 20, we read verses 34 through 38, it's Israel passing under the rod, referencing the same time frame. Okay, so these are two other, Jeremiah and Ezekiel, talking about this prophecy about Israel's going to go through this time. And this time they're talking about is the trouble. Okay, the trouble. Next. All right, next. So we have 7 weeks, 62 weeks, and then we have 1 week, which is 7 years, going with the same number of years. Next. Okay, let's look at verse 26. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. All right, this is again talking about this, after the Messiah is cut off, the cross, the people of the prince that is to come. All right, now you got to do some studying on the antecedent of the pronoun he, you know, and doing all this. Some say, well, that's Jesus Christ. Well, if you do a biblical study, that is not the Lord Jesus Christ. One thing, if you go in verse 27, he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. There is no record of Jesus confirming any covenant with the Jews for a week. Okay? the Jews sacrifice, and after the crucifixion, the sacrifices in the temple went for, actually for another 40 years. Okay? Went for another 40 years. And if the Messiah, if Christ was the prince of the people to come, then all this is in the past. And the Bible does not support that that theory. All right? The people of the prince to come, next. Okay? Well, if you read Revelation 2, verses 1 and 2, and turn to Daniel, look back at Daniel chapter 8. Daniel chapter 8, look at verse 23. In the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come to the full, a king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences shall stand up. And his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. And he shall destroy wonderfully, and shall prosper and practice, and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people. And through his policy also he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand, and he shall magnify himself in his heart. And by what shall destroy many? Peace. Shall destroy many. He shall also stand up against the what? Now, Prince of Princes, is your first prince capitalized? Who would that indicate? Christ. Okay? But he shall be broken without hand. All right? So you have, look at chapter 11. Flip over to chapter Daniel chapter 11, verse 21. Okay, and in his state shall stand up a vile person to whom they shall not give the honor of the kingdom, but he shall come in peaceably and obtain the kingdom by flatteries, and with the arms of a flood shall they be overthrown, and before him shall be broken, yea, also the prince of the covenant. Okay, so you have this, and in Revelation chapter 6, you have this prince that comes in, and he's saying what? Peace, peace. And he comes into power by flatteries. And but he's what? He's ruthless and he's mean and he destroys. But this is the people of the prince, okay? And what we read in the prince to come. Next. We know that is the Antichrist. You continue to do more biblical studies, that is the Antichrist. All right, next. Confirm the covenant with many. All right, verse 27. He shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. This is 7 years. Next. With 1 week, with many, but not all. If you read Revelation chapter 7, what do we find? We find the 144,000 Jews, 12,000 from each tribe. Okay? They don't fall underneath the Antichrist. All right? Confirm the covenant with many, but not all. Next. In the midst of the week. Next. So, midst of the week would be 3.5 years. Next. 3.5 years, next. All right, look at Daniel chapter 11. Daniel chapter 11, look at verse 36. And the king will do according to his will, and he shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished, for that is determined shall be done. Neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women, nor regard any God, for he shall magnify himself above all. Okay? Just hold your place there. Turn to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, look at verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself, what? That he is God. Okay? That he is God. And this is a picture of the Antichrist. If you look at verse 27, he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate. So what does he do? Here in the middle of the week he says, hey, you don't need a sacrifice anymore, just worship me, I'm here. And he sets himself up as God. Okay? Next. All right, to understand this further, you'd have to do some study. This prophecy is given in Daniel chapter 9, 24 through 27. Next. The framework of it is given in Matthew chapter 24. Okay, Matthew chapter 24 gives the framework for this 70th week, what we call commonly called what? The tribulation period. All right, next. And then the details are fleshed out in the book of Revelation. Okay? In the book of Revelation. And this is the week we call the tribulation period. Now, who is this week for? The Jews. Okay? This week is for the Jews. We saw that. There's still 1 week to be had for the Jews. All right? Next. Okay? You have 7 weeks. 62 weeks until Messiah is cut off. That's the crucifixion. You have 1 week. You expand that week out. It's 3.5 years. 3.5 years. Next. Okay, this is the tribulate, what we call the tribulation or time of Jacob's trouble. Next. All right, Matthew chapter 2, Matthew 24, verses 3 through 14. In fact, let's turn there. Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. They departed out of the temple. The disciples came to him to show him the buildings. And Jesus tells them that there's not going to be one stone left here. And they ask him in verse 3, tell us what shall these things be? What shall be the sign of the coming of the end of the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And verse 6, you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. Do we hear that today, wars and rumors of war? Do we see that today? Yes, we do. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not what? Yet. All right? For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places. Any of that happened lately? Okay. But notice in verse 8, all these things are what? The beginning of sorrow. Okay. Now, I say all that because some say, well, we're already in the tribulation period. No, we're not. But getting warmed up, if I can say that. Now, this is, if you go down through verse 14, and the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for witness unto all the nations, and then shall the end come. Verse 15, when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by who? Daniel the prophet. So this refers back to Daniel that in the midst of the week, he's going to break that covenant and he's going to set himself up as God. Okay? And this is the change. Stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. And then when you read down through this, there is a break. But look at verse 13 of Matthew chapter 24. Look at verse 13. And it says, but he that shall what? Endure to the end. Christian, let me ask you, do you have to endure for salvation? No. We're sealed. Amen? This is not for us. We are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. We are sealed with an inheritance. We don't have to endure to be saved. That is a work salvation. Okay? So this is not for us. This is for, again, framing out the tribulation period. But in Matthew chapter 24, verse 15 through 28, there is a shift. Okay, look at verse 21. For then shall be what tribulation? Great tribulation. Next. All right, great tribulation. All right, so what's going on? Antichrist is going to turn up the heat. Okay, God's going to allow it. Now, keep in mind, of all these 70 weeks, what is the goal? What is the purpose at the end of these 70 weeks? Is to do what? It turn Israel back to Him. That is the goal of these 70 weeks. Next. All right, if you study the book of Revelation, Revelation 6 and 7, you have the seals that are broken. Revelation 8 through 11, you have the trumpets. Revelation 15 through 19, you have the vials. Revelation 12 through 14 kind of covers matters in both areas. You don't see the church in the book of Revelation after Revelation chapter 3. You don't see the church. Okay? Some argue, well, it's in book 4 and 5. Well, that's hard pressed. They're resting the scriptures. But you don't see the church anywhere in the book of Revelation during this time. This is for Israel. This is for God bringing Israel back to Himself. All right, next. And the second advent, when Christ returns, Revelation 19, when He comes back on as a conquering, you know, as the Lion of Judah with the saints, the second advent ends that week. Look at Matthew 24, verse 30. Matthew 24, verse 30. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. Who is the Son of Man? Lord Jesus Christ. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And He shall send His angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together His elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Well, who's the elect that He's gathering? Those that endure. That's not us. Okay, that is not us. We did not endure. We are saved. We are sealed. All right, but this is Daniel's 70 weeks, and it ends with the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, next. That's not how prophecy plays out, though. I'm going to throw a wrench in this. Somebody's like, what? What are we missing? Go back one, please. What are we missing in all this? We're missing a 2,000-year period that we're in right now. All right, next. Next. Shall Messiah be cut off, but not for Himself, and the people of the prince shall come. Next. You see that little colon? That little colon is a 2,000-year pause. Next. So if we blew up... You know, a close shot, how you do a map, you blow up so you get more detail. Next. That colon is a 2,000-year pause. A 2,000-year pause called the church age that we're in right now. Okay? Next. So, next. Ephesians chapter 3, 1 through 6, it's called a mystery. It's a mystery. It's not some secret knowledge. It's what people didn't see before. They didn't understand. The Old Testament prophets didn't understand what they were seeing, okay? Didn't understand what they were looking at. Colossians 1, 26 through 27. Let's turn there. Colossians 1, 26 through 27. Colossians 1, verse 26. Even the mystery... which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to His saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Next. All right, so we have here A 2,000-year pause. Next. Next. It's the church age. It's the age we're in now. Next. And then the pause, then the tribulation period. Okay? But we're in this church age, this period right here. Next. Okay. Old Testament prophets saw two peaks of prophecy. The first one is what? First coming of Christ, which would be the cross, correct? And there are Isaiah, next. Okay, Isaiah 53, Psalm 22, Zechariah 13, 7. These are all things that point to the cross, all right? The suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah 53, surely hath borne our sorrows and borne our griefs, carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. Psalm 22:1 says, my God, why hast thou? Well, how do you know that? He said it on the cross, didn't he? Okay. That's the cross. Next. But they also saw the crown, which would be what? The second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay. And if you're looking at this, they look, well, that happens and then that happens. Okay, so one happens right after we got, he died, he comes to the cross, and then he comes back as king. Okay, and there are many other verses that talk about that. So they're looking at the mountain peaks of prophecy. They see the crucifixion, and they may not understand it, but they see it. And then they see him coming back as the King of Kings. All right, next. What they don't see is they see the two mountaintops, next. But they don't see the valley, next. They don't see the valley in between them. If you ever come and think, oh man, we're almost there, then you crest a hill, you're like, oh man, it's another 20 miles. Okay? This is the church age, the mystery. Go back. Keep going. Go back to the previous slide, if you would, please. Yeah. See, there, it looked like, oh, they're right behind each other. Then next. Keep going. Next. Okay. 2,000 years. Now, I am not putting a date and time on the Lord's return. Amen. I'm not doing that. I think if we ever got it right, God would change it. Pastor Garcia got it right. I'll move it back a year. Okay. But they did not see this. Next. All right, next. Next. All right, Romans chapter 11, it says, blindness has happened to Israel until when? The fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Now, Paul said he preached to the Jews, and Paul they were not accepting it. Paul said what? I turn to who? The Gentiles. I turn to the Gentiles. Aren't you glad of that? Aren't you glad we could get in on that? Next. Luke 13:35. Well, let's turn there. Luke chapter 13, verse 35. Luke chapter 13. Jesus here speaking. Behold, he talks about Jerusalem, Jerusalem, verse 34. Verse 35. Behold, your house is left until you is left unto you desolate. Verily I say unto you, you shall not see me until the time come when you shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. So what is he saying? He's saying, you're not going to see me again, the second coming, until when? You can say here, after this tribulation, after the vials and the trumpets and the seals, we want the Messiah. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Messiah. Okay? So we have this pause. Next. All right. I know this is a busy slide. I have copies of this slide out in the foyer if you want to take one. Okay? I have copies of this slide. But this encapsulates everything that we just went through. Okay? Daniel's 70th week determined upon the Jews and Jerusalem to do all these things. Started in 45 BC, 7 weeks, verse 25, 62, until 1 week is left. Okay? And then you have the church gap. And then the rest. So this slide just encapsulates everything that we just went over. And there's copies of it out there if you want to take one. Okay? If you want to take one. Now, Brother Peterson, why is this so important? Okay, why is this so important? Next. Well, we have the cross and the church and the tribulation and the second advent, 7 years. And I said this period is for who? The Jews, okay? So we don't have to endure. We don't have to endure through this. So what does this do? Next. How you view this week determines your view of the rapture. Now, what is the rapture? The rapture is catching up, catching away. It's a transliteration of the term rapizo, which is a catching up, the Greek term rapizo. All right, but how you view this week and who it's for determines your view of the rapture. Next. You have the mid-tribulation rapture. Okay? That the church will go through the tribulation halfway and then we'll get all raptured out because this is the great tribulation and we won't do that, we won't get there. And then we'll come back with Christ. That's the mid-tribulation rapture. Next. The post-tribulation rapture is that all the church will go through all this. Okay? Then we'll go up and come back down. We'll do the elevator effect. Christ will come take us up, and we'll turn around and come right back down. Okay? Next. You have the partial tribulation theory. This is, if you're watching and waiting, when God comes, 3 or 4 times, you'll get caught up. So don't be asleep on your Christian duty, or you won't be raptured. Okay? but that's the partial tribulation. Or pre-trib. Well, that's what that means, that the church is caught up, the church is raptured out pre-tribulation. What does that mean? That means that we don't go through this. Amen? We don't go through this. Now, that's you can do a whole nother study. Okay, you can do a whole nother study of about the tribulation, but this is what the Bible teaches. The church does not go through this. This is for who? The Jews. Okay, this is for the Jews. Matthew chapter 24 said, "For those who endure shall be saved." We don't have to endure. All right, but that is a whole nother view. So, what do we do with this? One, how does it view you with the rapture? So what should we do with this information? Well, one, don't lose hope. Amen? Amen? All this, is, do you see this? The wars, rumors of war, pestilence, earthquake, famines? You see those increasing? Okay? I'm telling you, the longer you just pay attention to the news, you will see biblical prophecy unfolding in front of your eyes. Okay? Ezekiel chapter 38 and Ezekiel chapter 39, you know, all the nations surrounding Israel come into Israel to attack them. That hasn't happened yet, okay? So don't lose hope. As you see all these things happening, you're saying, oh, the Bible's more true, if I can say that. Can I say that, Pastor? The Bible's more true. How about proves itself more true? How about being a witness, being a light to others so they don't have to go? If they're not saved and they're not raptured out, they're going through the tribulation. They are going through the tribulation period. So, Daniel's 70th week, okay? Daniel's 70th week. It is for the Jews. It is commonly called what we call the tribulation period, all right? Again, from the framework is in Matthew chapter 24, and the details are in the book of Revelation. Book of Revelation. All right, there you go, Pastor.
Could require months and months.